Shalom Hashem Matar Be'eis Malkosh Hashem Oseh Chazizim U'mitargeshem Yitain Lahem Le'ish Esev Basodeh. Ask Hashem of rain. And what is Malkosh? Yoreh is the early rain because it goes down like shooting really hard down. Yoreh Malkosh Lekesh. In Hosea, Lekesh is late rain, soft rain. They come down like spray. Okay, you don't want Yoreh in Shvat and Adar, because already the almonds are sprouting and other things are sprouting. Yoreh will kill those things. You hear it? Okay, so now you want softer rains now in Israel, or so to say. Okay, so it says, ask for rain even at the time of Malkosh. Hashem Oseh Chazizim. So he says that all the things you need, if you heed these words, are no further away from you than the asking. There's someone with the power to give you everything you ask. Okay. That's what he's saying. So, okay. I'm the one who makes this happen. And just look to me to make it happen. It's as simple as that. Because you have not been doing that up to now. Because ki hatrafim dibru oven ta'akosmim chazu sheker v'chalamos hashavi daberu yehevel yinachemun alkein nasu kimot son yanu ki ein roeh. The trafim that you called upon until now, trafim are human-sized idols that were used either to tell atidot, to tell future. They were also used at times for fertility. The service of Trophim was absolutely disgusting. It involved human sacrifice. Anyway, here he's saying the Trophim that you worshipped in order to tell you what would happen. They didn't speak anything but oven. Kosmim chazu sheker. Kosmim, same thing. People who will divine for you and try to give you tell you the future, they're lying to you. The chalamos hashavi daberu. The dreamers of dreams, they speak shav, they speak false. Shav is worse than false. A false oath is me saying, I swear I'm going to give each one of you $1 million by next Monday. I mean, how about $1,000 by next Monday? Okay. That's a shvuas sheker. A shvuas shav is by saying, this is an egg roll, I'm about to have one. Shvuas shav means it's evident to all. You don't have to wait for it to be false, right? Yeah. In fact, I swear that this is a watch. It's also a shvuas shav. You don't have to swear to make you believe that it is, right? Anyway, so the chalamos were even worse than the kosmim and the trafim. It was a totally shav. A few words here: oven, sheker, and shav. Trafim is oven because that's the worst. Whatever is done with trafim is mam shavu dizar from the outset. Kosmim chalamos, I mele shus. Kosmim is probably even worse than chalamos. Chalamos are people who, you know, they sit like this and they meditate, and all of a sudden they start speaking out in a high voice or something. Okay. Hevel yinachemun sounds like a Yirmiyahu kind of thing to say. Their nonsense consoles you. What does that mean? They tell you what you want to hear. Therefore, you traveled like sheep without a leader. Al haro'im chora api. The machlokas between the Meforshim, and this is actually a relatively easy part of the book, the machlokas and the Meforshim, whether we're talking about Jewish leaders or whether we're talking about Gentile leaders, the leaders of the nations. Let's see if we could read enough here, a few psukim, and try to come to a conclusion. Okay, let's read a few psukim together. It says, Al haro'im achara api, my anger waxes against the ro'im, the shepherds, the al ha'atudim, the atudim are the sheep, right? Efkod. I will punish the sheep for being led astray by their bad leaders. Kifakar Hashem tzvakos esedro es beis Yehuda V'samosom kisus hodo b'milchama. Well, I think shouldn't be much of a machlokas here. Aren't we talking about Jews here? Because God could pokad Hashem. The word pokad is sometimes used in Tanakh for when God remembers someone for good. Hashem pokad es sarah kasher ma, right? Here, of course, it's used for bad. Sometimes it's used for bad. Pokad avon avos. You got that? Pokad avon avos al bonim. You familiar with such a pasuk, guys? It's in this week's parasha. Ki pokad Hashem tvakos es edro. God will revisit the iniquity of his flocks es beis Yehuda. There you go, upon the house of Yehuda. V'sam osam kisus hodo b'milchama. I will make them like, what's a sus hodo b'milchama? Like a horse whose glory is obvious at war. Right? So too will God. Will God fight for Israel like as if though they were a glorious horse? Well, however, if you were so sure that because of the end of this pasuk that the leaders we're talking about in the beginning of the pasuk are the Jewish leaders, not so fast. Rashi doesn't say that. Okay, Rashi says that the leaders and the sheep in the beginning of the pasuk are Gentiles. The reason why they are going to have their sins visited is because God will be like a warrior for the Jews. Who will defeat those enemies? Do you remember last week we did a perush of Ibn Ezra who kept on saying that these psukim are references of remember the Hashmonaim? Remember Ibn Ezra who tried to show that as much as possible of Zechariah is a contemporary message? But in our prophecies here, he does not mind explaining that these prophecies are referenced to the Hanukkah story in Hashmonaim. After all, what army had glorious fighters that defeated the enemy? It's got to be Hanukkah. In fact, think about it. Think about it for a moment. From the time of Zechariah until Ibn Ezra, has there been one army that defeated the enemy?
No.
The way that the Hashmonaim did? Can't really speak of anything there, right? Mm. So if he's talking, so Ibn Ezra has two choices. Ibn Ezra can say it refers to something he's aware of in the past, or he can do like Abarbanel and say that this prophecy is a prophecy yet to be realized. Or we can say, yes, believe me, the whole book's written on how Zechariah, Perek Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet are the Six-Day War.
Mimenu fina, mimenu yarked, mimenu keshet, milchama, mimenu yetze, chol nogesh yachgav.
All right, wow. Mimenu. First, let's figure out what this mimenu means. Rashi says, mimenu pina mehem malchehem mehem sereim mehem lochmei milchamosam. Meaning, from you shall these things depart. Mimenu, these things shall leave from you. Mimenu pina. Pina means depart from you. Befane. Right? From these, what will depart from you? Yoteid keshes milchama and kol noges yachdav. What could this mean? So we have to fill this into a sentiment. And let me tell you how the commentaries read Zechariah. The first thing you have to do is to figure out a theme that you want this prophecy to be telling you, and then you try to build it back into the words. That's how difficult this book is. All right. So if you look at the next pasuk and come back to this theme, it says, "V'hayu kegiborim bosim betit chutzos b'milchama, v'nilchamu ki Hashem imam." The enemy will be like warriors trampling in mud, or in clay. Remember, like the story of Sisera's chariots. V'nilchamu ki Hashem imam. B'nei Yisrael will fight against them because God is with them. Or think of Shirat Hayam. Or Eile v'rechev, Eile basusim, v'nachnu b'shem Hashem nazkir. V'hovishu roch v'susim. All those who are riding on horses, right? V'hovishu roch v'susim, Rashi says, the Beit Yehuda, the people I'm fighting with, will wipe out or dry up or embarrass, or at least you hear, can mean just to defeat the enemy horses. Now, what you see from Pasuk Gimel Dalet and Hay is a constant juggling between verbs regarding Israel and verbs regarding the enemy. But now, if what we're saying is so, let's turn back to Pasuk Dalet, means that I will cause to depart from your enemy these things, Yoteid, Keshet, Milchama, and Kol Noges. Right? And now the two psukim fit. Right? I will cause to depart from the enemy these tools of war. They will not work for them.
Gibarti Espes Yehuda, Vespes Yosef, Moshia, Vahoshvasim, Ki Vichamtim, Vahyu Kasher, Lo Zanachtim.
Okay, so Rashi says this is talking about the wars against the Greeks. Okay. The Gibarti is Beis Yehuda. I will cause Beis Yehuda to overcome them. Right? Again, a very unusual verb, the Gibarti. It's used also in Noah's story, by Yigberu Hamayim. Okay. So, I told you before why we're almost stuck in explaining this in light of the Greek wars, because there was never a time in our history that you can point to between Zechariah and Rashi and Ibn Ezra where there was a Jewish army that had a resounding defeat of a strong enemy. So that's why everyone here keeps, take a look at all the Mefarshim, Yevonim, Chashmonaim, everything, even Ibn Ezra, as I said. Okay. Alright, so he says that I will take Beis Yehuda. Why Beis Yehuda and Beis Yosef? Those are the two kingdoms. You know that already. Right? The two trees earlier in this book. One tree was Yehuda, one tree was Yosef, and Yechezkel, and all over Tanakh. It's almost like a little rhyme here, isn't it? Ephraim, Samachi Bon, Kimo Yayin. Alright, so Ephraim will be like a gibor, and smach libam kimo yayin. What do you mean? You'll be glad like wine.
But you have one,
right? Of course. Even as it says, b'nei Ephraim yihu kigibor kimo b'yayin. As if they had one. The habet chaseber Ibn Ezra says kimo kisheshes yamim. You ever think about this? Ibn Ezra uses this example often. It says v'shemar b'nei Yisrael shabbos asos the shabbos of Shabbos shalom. It should really be ki visheshes yamim, because in 6 days God created heaven and earth. Not because 6 days God created heaven and earth. So Rashi, even it just says that sometimes there's a word that's missing the bet. 6 days in 6 days. You'd be happy like wine, happy like as if though you were viyayin. You were. Okay. When this happens, this will lead to a lot of simcha. Now, the Rambam actually writes that the Chanukah story should be one that where people remember it b'simcha and observe it b'simcha. The Gemara never refers to that. Very interesting. The Rambam does not mention our pasuk, but he could have. Okay, here comes a Navi that says that this defeat of this particular enemy, which all the Mefarshim say is the Yevonim at the hands of the Chashmonaim, should lead to simcha. Now, there are all sorts of sources in the Chazal. I discussed this at Mincha today for a different reason, but between Mincha and Marv, about whether or not we're supposed to gloat and be happy with the downfall of the enemy. Remember Matthew, they talk about Yom HaTem Rotzim Lomar Shira. Alright, so don't be so amazed. Who was Hashem talking to in that Medrash?
Angels.
The angels. Okay, so all right, the angels won't say full halal, you know. We can let them do it, that's fine. That's God tell them what to do. But there's no reason why we shouldn't rejoice. Adrabah, we did sing Shira when we saw the Egyptians drown, right? And I'm not aware of any medrash that says that we shouldn't have. Okay, for the Maisa, our pasuk says that when this battle is won, it will lead to great simcha as if you just drank wine. Not familiar with any medrash that says that Chanukah should be observed with the drinking of wine like Purim, right? It's not, you know, there is the Ramad discusses the chiyuv seuda on Chanukah to have milchik foods, l'zecher the story of Yehudas, right? The story of Judas in the Apocrypha about feeding to milchuk, the spicy cheeses, to the. But the Rambam says that the reason why, that we should give gifts on Chanukah, because gifts bring simcha, and there's a din in simcha also on Chanukah. It's a karas atov to Hashem, to be sameach. But here's a good pasuk that shows it. Okay, so next Chanukah, remember Perek Yud pasuk Zayin and Zechariah. Okay, now this pasuk is also what this pasuk could remind us of. Is something that Zechariah does quite a bit of in this Sefer, is he undoes bad nevuos of Yirmiyahu. It makes sense. Yirmiyahu gave bad prophecies for impending doom if you don't do tshuva. Zechariah is building the second commonwealth. Now these things are possible, these things can happen, you're going to have to repeat the bad parts, the bad elements of the past, and all this is possible if you just follow the directions. A difficult pasuk to be sure, but when we know that there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that used Eshrika, I'll whistle to the goyim, like in Eicha Perek Gimel also, that the goyim will whistle to. Oh, look at this destruction of these people. What did they do to deserve this kind of destruction? And God whistled over to all the nations to destroy the Jews. And now Zechariah uses the same lashon of gathering the Jews this time, not gathering the goyim to destroy us, but gathering the Jews together for kibbutz Goliath, as Rashi pointed. So what's the last part? The Rabu Kima Rabu, huh? So take a look at this in the Farshim, look at Rashi, Barabu, the Gola Kimosharabu Bimitraim. Okay. Barabu Kimarabu, you will multiply now the way you multiplied in the past. Okay, you see the word Be'ezra Aim. Now I think that this puzzle, let me just turn back to Yirmiyahu again here. Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Aleph is the one perek about Kibbutz Goliath, about the return, and that entire sefer, right? And in chapter 31, verse 9, pasuk tes, he says, "Shimud v'Hashem goyim v'hagidu boim imerchok v'imru mizorei Yisrael yikaptenu ushmaro kiroe edro." Okay, mizorei Yisrael means from the lashon of sowing seeds. Or even winnowing in the wind, possibly, but it means that you're getting spread out. The winds are going to
scatter.
Remember in Sefer Hoshea, he also uses, "I'm going to blow you
scatter
in with the wind to the four corners." Now here's the question: is this a good thing or a bad thing? So Rashi says that it's like sowing seeds to gather in much more. It's as if though Zechariah is telling us that part of your mission is to be spread out in the world so that you can do what Yeshayahu said you would do, which is to be an Or LaGoyim. No matter how much we try to be that, you know, it's often very difficult to accomplish. Ezra Aim, which means I will scatter you, right? The Ezra Aim means I scattered you, right? In fact, that's how Targum reads it. Ukema devadar tinun beine amamaya uva'ar rechika. Just as I scattered you in the past amongst the nations and in distant lands, habu dechirin ledchalti. You still remembered me in those places. V'chayus b'nehem v'shavu. And you raised your children there in the galus v'shavu. And now you shall return. Zechariah would be one with Ezra and Nehemiah in this call, that they say you've been outside of Israel long enough, it's time to come back. Right? The 70-year Golus period, and it's time to return. Vashivosim Eretz Mitzrayim u'me'ashur akaptein. Why that for these two nations? Zechariah is certainly not the only one to use them as paradigms. So Ashur represents the nations in the north, Mitzrayim represents the nations in the south. It means that you're scattered all around, northeast, southwest. Right? Here's Israel in the middle, and Egypt is down there, and Ashur is up there. However, it goes one step further. In Shmos Rabbah, there's an amazing drash on the names of these two places. You see, Ashur, from the Lashon Aleph Shin Resh, right, means a place where you're happy to be. Mitzrayim, Meitzar, is from Tsar, means a place that you're not happy to be. So the Medrash says that Jews will always find themselves in the Golos in places where they're quite happy to remain, and they do well there. They're given equal opportunity, and they will succeed there. That can be like, I don't know, America, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, whatever, you know, Anglo places. Anyway, so there will be these two nations. Asher will be quite thankful to live there and succeed there. And then there's the Mitzrayim kind of nations where there's Meitzar. There's like the Syria Jews who live in Iran. I think there's still quite a few Jews in Iran. But the point is that these two nations, the Yishayahu mentions, Zechariah mentions here as well, that Jews will find themselves in both of these types of nations. It's not quite clear which one they'll be more readily capable of leaving. The Meitzar nations, they'd love to leave, it's just that they can't. The Asher nations, they're very satisfied to stay. Here we are, who are we to talk, right? Okay, then he says, "Ve'al eretz Gilad ulevanon aviim v'lo yimotzei lahem." Oh, what is that talking about? Ve'al eretz Gilad, that would be what we call today the Golan Heights, and even on the other side of the Jordan, parts of Syria, northern Jordan. Okay, ulevanon, even leading up in past Akko into Lebanon.
Is Lebanon is referring to the base of Israel?
You're quoting a medrash. The very beginning of the next pasuk says the same, but in pshat we're talking about a country called Lebanon here. And why do they have to live in these places? Below you, Matzei Lahem. Something's missing in the pasuk.
What does that mean?
Makom. There will not be enough place for the Jews. There'll be so many coming back to Israel. There'll be no place for them. Now, in terms of this pasuk, in terms of the way the Targum reads this pasuk, it means to say that just as God did miracles for you back then, He'll do miracles for you in the future along the lines of Kriyas Yamsuf. How else can Yishayahu possibly be explained, perhaps, for someone who wants to make Aliyah? How might they go in a similar way without getting their feet wet? They'll fly on a plane, maybe. Now, Yishayahu can't exactly say it that way to them, and he probably wouldn't understand it himself. The point of this pasuk is the same, is that if you go in there and you go and follow my directions, I'll give you the same miracle. Okay? There you go. I'll dry up all of the rivers for you. And all of these nations will come down and all their rods of what they used to beat you with will be removed from them. Targum takes this to say that I will punish them the same way I punished the Egyptians in the past. Okay? Alright, the Gibartim Vashem. Remember we had the Gibarti earlier in Pasgvav? The Gibartim Vashem Uvishmo Yisalochonu Vashem. And the Gibarti Vashem means I will give them chizuk with the help of Hashem. They will get chizuk with the help of Hashem. Yivartim Hashem uvishmo yishalachu. That's pashut. Eilu varecha ve'eilu basusim. Va'anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazkir. They will go, they will succeed vishmo, in the name of God. Right? There won't be enough room for them, so they'll have to live in those places as well. Okay, now Pasukit Aleph is actually darshaned very copiously in a number of places. And he says, "V'avar b'yom tzara." Perfect week to be doing this, right after Kriyas Yam Suf. "V'avar b'yom tzara v'hikava yom galim v'avishu kol mitzulos yor v'hurag ya'on asho v'shevet mitzrayim yasur." All right. Oh. Yor yasur. There's a lot of rhyming going on here. Anyway, what's happening here? So, look at Targum. V'yit abdun lahon nisin ugvuran kimod v'yit avidu la'avason b'yama. Right? You will have miracles wrought for you v'avar b'yom tzara, the same way that the enemy chased after you in the river before. Any enemy who dares chase after you will meet the same fate. Now, what the Targum is saying is that miracles along the lines of what was done to you before will be done to you again. Now you can be sure that when those Yemenites got on those planes, they really thought that they were being taken on, like it says in the Sfas Parsha, Kanfei Nesharim, the wings of eagles, right? Remember that? Well, furthermore, when Yishayahu predicts in his book that just as God dried up the body of water separating you from Israel in order for you to get there without getting your feet wet. So too, when you return to Israel in the future, you will not have to get your feet wet.